Sports talk show in the Carolinas on the interwebs with your host, the never intimidated or duplicated Big Shot Bob.
I liked what I saw from Cam.
And the man at the top of the summit, the man bringing it home, Rocky
Lorenzo Cain, to teach Cam Newton how to slide.
The show starts now.
All right, we're going to try this again. Welcome to the Breakdown on Spreaker, Stitcher, and iTunes.
Break it down.
You way over there, man. What are you talking about?
Break it down.
There you go.
There we go.
That's better for you. You always confuse me. You switch you up, man.
I sit sometimes in the same spot every
week. Sometimes you're on four, sometimes you're on five, sometimes you're on two.
I just grab the microphone that's closest to me and say, turn it on. Plug it up.
But welcome to the show today. Of course, that was a Big Shot over here. He's all fired up today. MKG, we'll talk about that in a few minutes. And then we got, I'm trying to think if I want to say this right.
KBD over here. We'll just synonym it up and put some initials to it.
KRB. Yeah. You see, you're switching up too. All right, go ahead.
Maybe. we conversated before the show today.
Y'all confusing me today.
That we're keeping you on your toes is what we're doing.
No kidding. Damn, y'all definitely doing that.
Well, you're killing me with the shirt, but I wasn't going to say anything.
Bus City.
At least I took the jersey off.
Just so y'all know, he went from Hornets overpull to the Gretzky Ranger jersey to the Buzz City shirt. He's all over the place today. It's okay,
dude,
though.
Wait until next week. I'll have my NC State jersey on.
I'm so ACC glad, I'm not going to be here.
ACC tournament.
ACC tournament.
I will have my jersey on. I will be at the game. I will root. Go ahead, give me a bark, Blue Dog.
Art the DMX bark. That's what I'm getting.
I appreciate that. Well, I hope everybody's doing good. We got a lot to talk about. We didn't have a show last week. Sorry, there was a snowstorm in Charlotte.
And today is raining. Isn't that crazy? We go from snow to rain. And yesterday it was 70 degrees. How do you go from 7 degrees in snow to 70 degrees? My goodness.
I mean, at least it didn't go from 70 to like 20. I did my basic training in Missouri, bro. It'd be 70 at 8 o'clock in the morning and then 60 at 8:30. Be like, yo, I'm done with this. I'm out.
Man, yeah, but it's crazy, the weather, man. Just stay one or the other. I got the air conditioner on one day. I got the heat on the next.
I don't even touch it. I just leave it alone. Let my wife let her deal with that.
Well, I tried, but she was out of town, so I got to take care of her when she's gone.
Uh-oh.
But let's go around the world in 120 seconds. All right, first in Philly, I'll take this one because I love Philly. Woo! Yeah! One more down. LeSean McCoy got traded to the Buffalo Bills for Kiko Alonso. Thank you, Philly, for being an idiot.
Man, they were dropping $12 million of salary off that, off their cap room. They are making moves. This isn't the first move. They are going after Mariota.
Hey, go ahead. Let's go get a rookie quarterback. I'm good with that.
Go ahead. Go get him, Philly. Do it. Number two, you can have it. We'll take your whole draft class.
Come on. I want to have the Oregon Ducks there.
That's what Chip Kelly's doing. Philly Ducks. They're getting rid of McClain. They're getting rid of everybody.
Listen, in all seriousness, I understand you trade him with the – but you trade him for a linebacker that missed all of last year?
Kiko Alonso,
you could have got a draft pick.
A good linebacker his rookie season.
I understand that, but you could have got at least a draft pick.
I'm telling you, don't sleep on Philly yet. It's not over.
He's rested.
Well, that's true. We'll talk about that later. At Daytona, who wants to take this one?
Mr. Joey Logano wins his first Daytona 500. Joey Logano is on fire. We were talking about how he had a great season last season, and it just carried over. None of our picks won the race, unfortunately.
I thought somebody picked Logano.
He picked Double J.
Double J won in Atlanta last week, so I was close.
And Double J did finish strong at Daytona. My guy, he was racing real good, Keselowski, and then got wrecked with like 30 laps left.
That's what he does.
My
guy
finished second.
Man.
Yeah, but you're
Junior was second.
Yeah, but your guy's like a cop out. He always finishes second. He never wins.
At least you got a dog in the race.
But my guy probably would have started a fight after the race. There was no fights after the race, so. Boo.
Well, we don't talk about these last two. I know we're over 122nd. Go ahead, Kyle. You got this one.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. May 2nd, Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao have finally got it done. They got it in there, and I skipped one. That was my bad.
That's okay.
I can't read.
No, you go ahead and take it. You got it now. Own it.
Stupid excited. After, what's it, 6 years now they've been trying to get this together?
I was just about to say, this fight is 6 years too late.
Too late.
Yeah. But two old men at the end of career. It's Apollo Creed and Rocky.
They're going to get a payday, though.
Hey, the exciting part is if either way, they're talking about the contract has a rematch already in it.
Really?
Yep.
They tried to make some bank off each other for their last two fights.
I heard about this money. $300 million split.
That split
is what I heard.
When you look
$300 million.
Look at what Mayweather is set to make. You got to remember, it's his promotion company. He gets his money from Showtime. He gets his money from the bets, everything. They're saying Mayweather alone is set to make almost $500 million on this fight.
That's insane.
For 12 rounds.
And it may not even go 12. It probably will.
No,
but
it'll
still.
Go 12 rounds.
And you know who's cutting a check for Floyd Mayweather? The guy that Manny Pacquiao works for, Golden Boy Promotions. Productions.
De La Hoya.
Oscar De La Hoya.
De La Hoya.
Mayweather is making that. How much is De La Hoya about to make?
Man. Oh, he makes enough money as it is.
We won't talk about all these sports athletes, how much football players and basketball. What about boxing?
Boxing's got it right, man.
And it's not as good as it was 20 years ago.
That's why that Mayweather can make this, because boxing is a dead sport. There's not really too many boxers that you can think of that are coming up in the next 10, 15 years that you want
to
watch.
I'm going to have to get one of my friends that is a boxing professional call in. So we'll have to do that getting closer to this boxing match.
Man, I'm a huge boxing fan, man. I'm just mad that the sport is dying.
I used to be. UFC's pushed it out, man. People got tired of watching the same old, you know, boxing, and now it's the UFC just offers so much.
The late 90s, early 2000s, boxing was at its peak.
You had
Lennox Lewis still boxing for the heavyweights. I mean, and this Klitschko kid, I hate Klitschko.
By the way, this week.
Why?
This week, March 7th. No, tomorrow, actually. March 7th. Ward Jones Jr. will be
in
Concord.
Yeah.
He's in Concord.
Yeah, is it? I thought it was the 6th.
It may be
6th. Tomorrow's the 6th.
Yeah, I thought it was the 7th. I thought it was Saturday.
I know.
I might be wrong.
I know he's fighting out there. So, I mean, I'm going to be working.
I kind of want to go.
I wanted to go, but I forgot, Roy, you're 50 years old, dog.
He's 50?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I thought he was like 55.
He might be.
That's like Sugar Shane Mosley, man. I mean, I love those guys, man. Sugar Shane.
He's definitely one old man I wouldn't run up on to say, hey,
I'm not trying.
I'll leave that alone.
Apollo Creed.
Finally, in Detroit, Ndamukong Suh will hit the free agency market as the Lions decline to hit him with the franchise tag.
And supposedly he's the leading contender right now is Indianapolis.
They need some to stop the run because, as you can see, four games against the Patriots in a row, they were giving up 150-plus yards and three, four touchdowns.
Somebody in this room ain't happy about that one.
No. No. Sue, listen. Listen to this one. I don't care. Just listen. Tennessee is where you need to be, man. Tennessee
right. Ain't paying nobody. They didn't pay Albert Haynesworth.
What y'all got? Good barbecue?
I'm so happy we didn't pay Albert Haynesworth.
What else y'all got to do in Tennessee? Have you ever been to Tennessee?
That's why he needs to go there.
Yeah, I know it's your team. Have you ever been to Tennessee?
Absolutely. I was there last week.
Okay. You go to the mountains. You eat some. They got some good pancakes down in Dollywood, I'll say that.
Listen, that's where he needs to be.
In Dollywood?
He can't get in trouble.
He'd be a good attraction.
Okay, I look at it as if I can get paid – and I can go play with Andrew Luck or exactly. Go play with Zach Mettenberger?
Yeah.
I'm going to go play with Andrew Luck and still get paid.
Listen. Stop using logic here. Nobody does that anymore, all right?
And think about it. Yeah, I got a chance to win a Super Bowl maybe down the line.
We could continue to dominate this week conference for the next 10 to 12 seasons behind Andrew Luck.
And if that's being nice. If he wants to go for the money, let him go down to even worse. Go to Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Because they got $69 million to spend.
They'll give him all of it.
So, I mean, if he wants the money, that's where he'll go. But I don't know.
He ain't winning there.
Yeah, we'll see. One other news real fast. In Chicago, Derrick Rose is going to have surgery. He already had it. Torn meniscus in the same knee as he had last year, out for 6 weeks. I had that surgery. It took me about 4 or 5 weeks to get back to like I was.
It took Derrick Rose a whole season the last time this happened. Is he going to be back in 4 weeks?
Well, they said he was going to be back the week before the playoffs. But I don't know, dude. Do you even play him? Because
you have to at this point.
You have to.
If he comes back and says he's ready to go, you got to put him out there. Chicago's window is closing. The more important loss for them is Jimmy Butler. He was getting buckets. He was their best wing defender. They need that guy back.
Not just that, but at one point, as Chicago's front office, at what point do you like, okay, enough is enough. We've given you money. We've given you time. We've given you all of this. And I think altogether he's played a season and a half, maybe 2 seasons completely.
Since the MVP season.
You know, and that's like, come on, man. You got paid. You need to put up or sit down.
He can't help it. His body won't stand up to the task for him.
His body ain't letting him do nothing.
We've talked about it before in basketball players. When you mess up your knees, as many surgeries as he's had, I mean, really, dude. I mean,
what can you do? Like at this point, what? And it's crazy because usually the knee injuries are the big dudes, you know. And I feel bad for him.
Guards just break down so fast. Look at Dwayne Wade. Look at Brandon Roy over the years. Anthony Hardaway, the Grant Hills of the world. Guards just tend to break down. Darren Williams, the past 4 or 5 seasons, can't consistently stay on the court.
I feel like we've seen those guys a lot longer than we've seen Rose, though.
Rose is definitely still a lot younger. But look at that class, though. Rose can't stay healthy, and Michael Beasley doesn't have the passion to play.
You talk about all the injuries they've had, though. Look at this generation of people taking time off. I mean, people take a rest day because they're too tired to play basketball.
I think that's just the way basketball's gone, though.
I think it's a mistake, man, because, I mean, I was listening to Mark Jackson the other day on the radio. And he played 81 games, but
Larry Bird at the time. Brown.
Larry Brown set him the final day of the season and said, you're not playing. And he was mad at the coach for sitting him the last game because he missed one game the whole season. Today's player, man, is like, all right, peace out. I'll sit down. You want me to play today? All right.
I mean,
maybe that's part of the reason they get injured so much because they're not.
This is a gift and a curse because look what it's done for San Antonio. It's prolonged Tim Duncan's career. It's helping Manu Ginobili get through now. It's helping Tony Parker, who's at 33. He's been in the league since he was 17. Yeah. So these older – it helps.
It's good
for
the older guys.
Look at LeBron James this year. LeBron James took 2 weeks off. He came back. The Cleveland Cavaliers have been the best team – one of the best teams in the NBA since he's come back.
For the young guys, good for the old guys.
Great for the old guys.
Yeah. They need that rest.
And I get that.
I'm not mad at LeBron James. You look at his body of work over the last 12 years, and I mean just the last 4 years.
Can we please stop and listen? We'll talk. I'll talk about somebody else. Colin Cowherd the other day I usually love him, but when he talks about LeBron, LeBron's wearing down. I'm like, dude. And people were saying he choked. He missed two free throws in a late game against Houston. But he still scored 37 and rebounds and assists. The guy's not breaking down. I mean, come on. He's 30.
I mean, he had an off night. He missed a ton of free throws in Houston Sunday.
That happens, though, man. I mean, come on.
11 shots in the paint. He missed. He didn't look like he carried his same energy that he usually carries. He was hitting the three balls, but it was a lot of – he got the ball. He dribbled the clock under 8-7 seconds. And then tried to attack or shot a long jump shot.
So he's the Charlotte Hornets offense.
He was LeBron in Cleveland the first time around.
I got you.
Without Kyrie Irving.
The man's not breaking down. I mean, he's 30. He's got a lot of mileage on the legs. But
I think breaking down is kind of strong. I think that's strong terminage there. That's,
I'm like, dude, come on. He's still got
it. Is Father Time starting to sink in that chokehold a little tighter? Obviously. It happens to all of us.
Well, I mean, he's not like Jordan. He was never like Jordan and Kobe as far as shooting.
No.
I mean, he was just bigger than everybody else, and he out-drives them.
And that may be what hurt him this year. The weight loss in the offseason, the different diet, things like that. Because it's very easy to say that this has been LeBron's most injured season he's had in his career, probably. Mm-hmm. Thinking back, and that weight loss may have had something to do with it.
Yeah, no, that's true. But I wanted to talk about a couple things from that Rockets and Cavs game. James Harden was suspended one game for kicking LeBron James in his groin.
James Harden does a lot of little sly stuff on the court. If you watch him play, like it was a play he came to the bucket. I think Tristan Thompson was under the bucket. And James Harden drove into the lane and took his right arm and smacked Tristan Thompson upside his neck and laid the ball in. And they called a foul on Tristan Thompson. So James Harden does stuff like this. If you watch enough Houston games, you'll see they're a chippy team. Last 2 weeks ago, you said you wanted to see some backyard brawling basketball.
That's true.
The Houston Rockets should be your new team because that's what they love
to
do.
If they didn't have Dwight Howard, they would be.
Well, Dwight ain't playing. So.
That's true. I guess who I kind of like and everybody hates him is Patrick Beverly. Yeah. The guy's chippy.
I like Beverly.
But he's a good defender.
He gets under your skin.
He shoots. Yeah, I like guys that get under your skin. That's what I like about Lance last year. He kind of got underneath LeBron's skin in the playoffs.
Now he's only getting under his own skin this year. Smacking himself in the face. He's still on Shaq and the Fool's number one fool for the year. But that's another subject. But, yeah, Pat Beverly is a heck of a defender, and he hits clutch shots. He hit a clutch three for them in the fourth quarter, or in overtime, matter of fact, to help put Houston ahead.
Yeah.
So, when James Harden was struggling, he was really struggling down the stretch.
Should he got suspended more than one game, though?
No.
Nah.
One. He kicked him in the groin on purpose.
It was last year. The same incident happened. They were just talking about it, too. I can't remember the teams. But it was a one-game suspension. And not just that, but it's not like he came up behind him and field goal kicked him. You know, he was on the ground. Did it look intentional? Yeah. But one game was sufficient.
All right. Well, I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that. They are a chippy team. Hopefully, and they're third or fourth in the West still. And, Dwight Howard, sit out if you will. I mean, I'll cheer them when they get to the playoffs. So we'll see.
Keep room for them Rockets.
Without Dwight
Howard. The Roughneck Rockets. That's the nickname.
They do have that. I mean, and we'll look at their coach, man, yeah. Kevin McHale. He installed, he wants that rough.
He wants them to play physical. He wants them to. We are friends. We out here to. Here for blood.
That's true. Here for your blood. The next news, Josh Smith of the Rockets calls Hawks fans bandwagoners following loss at Atlanta. He said those fans are fickle, very fickle. Hawks become first team to clinch a playoff spot, improved to 48-12, best 60-game start of the team history.
they got the number one seed locked up in the Eastern Conference. There are 11 games ahead of the Cavs and the Raptors in the loss column. So there's no way they're going to lose 11 games with 22 games remaining. Josh Smith is just mad that they ran him out of ATL. They was like, you got to do the dirty bird and fly the hell away from here because you are no good.
He's just mad because they weren't any good. Like you, they weren't good until
they got rid of his.
Until he left,
pretty much.
That's what he's mad and he's lashing out.
He misses Atlanta. Atlanta is a great city to be in. I mean, Houston is a great city to be in too. He should just live up his situation. Let the past go.
What's Atlanta a great city to be in for?
Because it's Atlanta.
Traffic sucks. As a black male that plays in the NBA, and the ratio for women to men is 10 to 1.
Oh, okay.
So you're saying Kyle Korver shouldn't be in Atlanta is what you're saying.
Kyle Korver probably loving it up in Atlanta.
Shoot. So The Rock shouldn't visit Atlanta anytime soon again.
I'm going to visit Atlanta. Don't tell my wife, though.
Just don't go to the Gold Club.
No.
The Cheetah Club.
We'll go to Magic City, see some bullet holes and cigarette burns and stuff.
That's where you got
to
be.
All right, Lewis, make sure you drop. So, but no, I don't know, man. Atlanta's played great, but let's see how they get to the playoffs. I think they'll be one and done.
They should get through the first round easily. They move the ball well. Horford and Millsap together are a great combo. Kyle Korver, they stretch the floor with Korver. Teague is an elite point guard. They just don't get the love like that because they're in Atlanta and they don't have a superstar name. But Atlanta has a very nice team, and their bench is very solid too with Schrader, Mike Scott, that antic kid if they need him.
Yeah, I know you're talking about.
Atlanta should.
I mean, right now, they're looking. If they get the first round of the playoffs, it's Miami or Charlotte right now.
If you're a Charlotte fan, which I am, I'd rather us play Atlanta than play Cleveland because we have not beat LeBron James in 5 years as a franchise.
The last thing in the world is to have Cleveland as the – I'm just saying. Let me tell you, the other night, the Lakers game, and we'll talk about it later, it was a home game for L.A., and they didn't have Kobe playing. Kobe wasn't playing. Nick Young wasn't playing.
You almost did it. You almost called him Swaggy P.
I did, and I was like, I forgot. I'm not calling this Joker that name because it's horrible. Worst nickname in history of sports. I'm Swaggy J. That's why I'm going to change my name. I'm Swaggy J, baby. Woo! No, just kidding. Anyway.
He seemed excited about that name.
I kind of like Swaggy J. It kind of hooks better.
Don't do that to us.
No, I'm just kidding. I could do that as a promo. But no, man, it was like a home game for the Lakers and all these people who weren't playing. If Cleveland comes to town, oh, my goodness gracious, go in. Yeah, I mean, it's a home game for Cleveland.
It's just those LeBron bandwagon fans. Same thing when the Heat showed up for the playoffs. So many Heat jerseys were out there. People love LeBron, but – I'm not surprised about the Lakers. The Lakers have a great following. Even when they're terrible, people still root for the Lakers.
Well, that's true. Lynn Sanity played, too.
Yeah, I know there was a lot of Asian contingency in the crowd last night because Lynn draws the Asian fans. They'll come out to see Jeremy Lin.
They never had nobody like that.
Yao Ming was cool,
but he was only cool for a few years.
But they loved Yao Ming. Yao would draw people to come see him.
You know why people went to see Yao Ming? Because he was 7 feet tall. He was a 7 foot seven. Asian.
He was 7'7". This guy was a statue.
He was the height of four Asians on top of each other. Like, that's just unreal. Like,
there are some short Asians.
I love my Asians too, y'all. I'm not making fun of y'all. I love y'all.
All right. Well, thank you for all our listener Asian friends that just left the station. I appreciate it. And you know, don't worry. He just watched Fresh Out the Boat last night.
It's true.
So he's you know.
It's that and Lethal Weapon 4. My bad.
All right. Some other news. Man, I'm gonna play music now because I'm gonna go ahead and do my Cash Money. Before I get ready to talk about this guy.
Believe it, please. You already smell me, man. I smell like money. I smell green. Team Invasion, daddy.
Southern smoke. All I ever wanted was
Okay, listen. This guy, Russell Westbrook, posts his fourth straight triple-double versus Sixers. Dude, a career high in points last night, 48 points. The guy is playing amazing. And someone in this room really – last year I couldn't stand the guy, and that was me. I couldn't stand him because he wasn't passing enough. That's all he's doing now. He's scoring and passing and doing – he's doing everything.
How would Russell Westbrook in a Charlotte Hornet uniform look at this point in the game? This kid is something else, man.
Yeah.
33 shots last night, 49 points.
Is it 49?
He had hit for 49 points. Had to bring his team back again with that big heavy mask on. This kid is just playing out of this world. Will it win him the MVP award?
The way he's playing.
The way he's playing.
If he keeps it up for the end of the season, yeah.
And, you know, the month of February, he averaged 30 points, 10 assists, and 8 rebounds. The last person to do that was Oscar Robertson. Oscar Robertson, you in the category with the big O. You know you've been doing something special, man.
I don't feel it. I don't feel him as the MVP.
Like, really?
I would rather see DeAndre Jordan as the MVP than Russell Westbrook, because when you take what Russell Westbrook out of the game, he's not playing, OKC still has the same struggles.
Well, you see, they would have lost last night if it wasn't for him. They're,
but that's against the Sixers.
They've been without Durant. They've been at Durant most of the year. Westbrook has stepped up as this team's leader.
He has.
When they need him the most.
He
and
has.
They're eighth place in the West, by the way. In the West. You know, if they were in the East, they would be a 3 seed.
So, I don't know.
But they're in the West because of him, not because of Serge Ibaka, not because of Deion Waiters. It's because of him.
Okay, but you can look at it and turn around, and unfortunately, this is just what has to be said. You say the same thing about LeBron James. Before those 2 weeks, they weren't looking good. They had lost, I think it was 15 to 18 games or something.
No, they looked bad.
They were terrible.
And then LeBron comes back, and they go from maybe not even making the playoffs to now they're in the third seed now? Fourth seed?
Second seed.
So they've jumped all the way up, and then look at what – and then you can jump over to California. Look at what DeAndre Jordan has done in the absence of Blake Griffin.
Yeah, but he just said a – stat, the first one to do it since Big O. Okay, that's how great this guy's playing right now.
No,
he
hasn't played that
I
way
said
the whole season.
If he keeps up towards the end of the season, I'm like he's doing now. If he ends up like 8, he's got 6 triple doubles on the season. He ends up with 10, he should get MVP, man. I'm just saying if he keeps it going. Now, to me, Steph Curry is the MVP right now. So.
The main thing is it's wide open for the MVP race. You have 4 or 5 guys that are really deserving. If Anthony Davis would have been healthy through the entire season too, he would be in the combo.
No, you're right. I think that, you know, Steph Curry started year out as the MVP. He's still the MVP, but people are catching him.
I got James Harden at this point, leads the league in scoring, top 10 in assists. And without Dwight Howard as well, hasn't had Dwight Howard for the last 20-some games, and they're still in the third spot in the Western Conference.
That's true.
So I got the beard.
You can give it to him, too.
I got the beard right now, man. And if they stay there, I can't see it not going in. But LeBron James is making a very strong push. And the way Russell Westbrook is playing, you can't overlook Russell Westbrook.
Nope.
My cash money player, though, this week is home. Mo Williams, we gonna keep it in the hive. Last 3 games, check it out. 3 wins in a row against Orlando, 23 points, 11 assists. Against the Lakers, he had another double-double. And then last night, in a convincing win over the Brooklyn Nets, 14 points and 14 more assists. He has rejuvenated the Charlotte Hornets and got them sitting in 8. So, Mo Dub, keep doing what you're doing.
He's been a great fit, man. I just hope he keeps it going.
I am a little concerned, though, what they do when Kemba comes back.
That's what I'm worried
about. Who goes to the bench?
That's what I'm worried about is Kemba. What are you going to do?
Do they do him like they did Big Al, work him back in slowly? That'll be a question we'll have to ask.
Yeah, I hate to say this, but Mo Williams is a better fit than Kemba at starting point guard. I'm just saying, why not move Kemba to the two and put Henderson on the bench?
And then have that really small backcourt out there?
No, but Kemba can create shots. He can. Defensively, it might limit you a little bit. But, I mean, dude, think about it. You got Mo running the point. I wouldn't move Mo to the two. I'd put him at the point. Because he'll get the assist. Kemba's not a big assist guy. He's never been. He's a scoring guard.
Yeah, true that.
So maybe let him play the two.
His role is the sixth man. We need the second unit to come in and provide instant punch, instant scoring.
But
here you go.
We can't do that because of the contract we gave him. We are paying him to be a starting point guard. And he's one of the captains of the team. He ain't sitting on the bench. He ain't coming in as a sixth man. I agree with you, though.
I mean, the sixth man role is really important. Look at Jamal Crawford. Jamal Crawford could start for any team in the NBA. He takes this sixth role man and puts it on a mantle because you know that you're probably the best scorer that's a non-starter on that second team. So the shots are going to come easier. It's going to be a little less defensive hectic on the floor because you're playing against the second team. And then with the first team, you want to get Al going. We want to get our inside game going. Here, you won't have to worry about it. It's just get your shots, you know. And then if there's somebody open, get them the ball then. But we want you to shoot.
I mean, well, think about it, though, man. Think if we had Kemba as the point on the second group. You got him, Lance, Gerald. You have them three on the come in as second unit. Then you could throw in Biombo, of course, and Marvin or Cody, every which way you want to
do it. You would keep one starter on the floor, but just have a strong nine-man rotation and just know that Lance, Kemba, and Bismack, those three are your main pieces for your second team.
That's 10 deep. This team could run 10 deep.
They could.
I'm telling you.
They definitely could.
And that's why I don't understand why he doesn't run more 10 deep. Because once Kemba gets back, you know, and then you got Brown Roberts.
He's going to street clothes.
No offense.
To street clothes.
That's another problem. This seems so deep, I think. They didn't know how to work him in. I think he's figuring it out now. We'll see, though. We will definitely see. We're going to take a break and then come back. Later on the show, we'll have a special guest in Mr. Steven Silas, right?
Yes, sir. Assistant head coach for our Charlotte Hornets.
Be right back. You're listening to The Breakdown on Stitcher, Spreaker, and iTunes.
Your city, you did it all and more, broke every law except for one, babe. Attraction, are you ready? I know you feel it, pull you nearer till you feel it again. Oh, I wanna do something right, but we can do something better. There ain't no time like tonight, and we ain't trying to save it for later. Stay out here living the life, yeah. Nobody cares who we are tomorrow, Mona. Got that little something I like, that little something I've been wanting to borrow. Tonight's the night, come on, surrender. I won't lead your love astray, astray, yeah. Your love's a weapon, give your body some direction. That's my aim.
Welcome back to The Breakdown. Before break, we said we was having a special guest on the show, and I just want to introduce him. He is associate head coach of your Charlotte Hornets, Steven South.
Congratulations on the win last night. Huge win last
night. Thank you. Yeah, we needed that.
After a tough game against the Lakers Tuesday night, were you surprised at how tough the Lakers came out Tuesday night?
Not really. I mean, they're a very good offensive team. You know, they have a bunch of different guys to score. They're not an easy matchup for sure. And, you know, they play free. And when you play free and not too worried about too much, you can go out there and scare some people. And they did that to us for sure.
Definitely, because we're fighting for the eighth spot. We're sitting at eighth right now. I'm just getting into a couple of these questions I wrote down.
Okay, since
we're sitting in the eighth spot, I know it doesn't matter because we have great competitors on the floor and we match up pretty well when we got we're going well. But who would we rather see in the first round, Atlanta?
That is an impossible question. I mean, Cleveland obviously is tough because of LeBron and Kyrie and Kevin Love. They have stars that can go, you know, get them a bucket in a playoff game down the stretch. Atlanta, they play so well together on both ends of the floor. I don't really have an answer for that, but they just pose different problems as far as, you know, the individual greatness and then the team greatness of Atlanta.
Me personally, I don't want to see LeBron James. I don't think as a franchise we beat LeBron James when he's been on the floor in the last 5 years or something. I'm sick of that guy.
Yeah, I've been around for a lot of those losses.
it hurt, but, man. It's painful.
Yeah, for sure.
Great news for the Hornets, though. Kemba was cleared to practice. When do we expect him to be ready to play?
Hopefully, he'll be ready for the week or so. So, he was in today on an off day, getting some work in, and he's starting to do a little bit more on the floor, as you said, doing some drills and moving around a little bit better. Slowly but surely, he's getting there, and then we'll have our full team for once for the final stretch.
It's going to be tricky because Mo has come in and he's fitting so beautifully. It's like he's like instant Grinch. Just add water and throw it in the microwave, and he's ready to go. How do you think that's going to work? Are we going to work Kemba back in slowly, or?
Yeah, I mean, initially we'll work Kemba in slowly, but we're going to have to play those guys together quite a bit, I think, because Mo brings so much. But, you know, he makes plays for his teammates. He organizes our guys offensively, which is interesting for a new guy to come in and be able to organize. But he does it, and then he and Al have a great synergy. Actually, you know, since they've been friends for so long and then played together in Utah, I believe.
That's right. So, they were in Utah together.
Yeah. So they're on the same page on a lot of what we do. So, yeah, we're going to have our best players on the floor, and he's one of them.
And if everything goes right, we can be dangerous.
The East is a parity, but once we get in, we can scare some people for sure.
Why has Lance had such a tough time fitting in? Because last year I thought he could have been an all-star two guard for the Eastern Conference, but he's come down here and it seems like he hasn't been able to find his way. What's been his biggest struggle, you feel?
It's a different situation for him. You know, it's a different type of team than he played with in Indiana. And he's really been struggling with his jumper, you know, and teams are playing him to shoot that jumper, and he hasn't really been making it. It's been really, really a struggle for him making shots. He's a great, very good in the open court. But those passing lanes close down a little bit when they're always playing you, you know, under your pick and rolls or playing you to shoot that jumper all the time. And then a struggle for him, but he's still a big part of what we do coming off the bench. And, you know, hopefully over these last 23 games, he'll get it going because we're going to need him.
We're definitely going to need him. Can you talk a little bit about the growth of Cody Zeller and especially of MKG? I mean, his jump shot looks really fluid now. It used to have a little giddy up, a little hitch to it. How hard has he worked to get this corrected?
Well, MKG was here all summer, and Mark Price, assistant coach, has done a great job with him. Really just starting from scratch, and that's what it needed. You know, he had a lot of motion in his shot, to say the least, prior to this season, but they really, you know, started from his feet and worked all the way through to his release. And both those guys, Mark and MKG, did a great job this summer, every day during the summer, even when Mark was in Atlanta. MKG went to go see him, and then when MKG was in New Jersey, Mark went to go see him. So, you know, it just took a lot of hard work, now he's to the point where he's confident, and, you know, a big part of anything you do is confidence, and he has confidence in that shot and is not afraid to shoot it and make it. Cody has been great. You know, his development has been very good. He's got into the starting lineup earlier in the season, and, you know, he can do a lot of different things. But the main thing that he does is he's a ball mover. You know, it's kind of in the role that McRoberts had for us last year, where we can give him the ball and he can make a handoff, or he's quick to the next pick and roll, or can pick and pop and make that little jumper. And he's very athletic in transition. So he's made a big jump in the second year, and we're proud of him.
I was talking with a buddy earlier. I said MKG in 2 years could be Paul George if he gets a three-point shot with it. Am I reaching with that statement a little bit?
I think they have a different game, one type player, especially off the bounce. But MKG makes up for it with his, you know, effort and, you know, the energy that he brings to our team. You know, when Kemba went down, we were kind of able to hang in there. And then Big Al went down, and we were kind of able to hang in there. But when MKG goes down, the wheels fall off. You know, we really struggle without him. So he's the glue to our team. And you know, these last 23 games, he's going to be a big part of it.
Absolutely. What's the biggest difference between for coaching for your father to now coaching under Coach Clifford?
I would say working for my dad was great, obviously. I learned a whole bunch. He was more like just an old school, you know, in the box type coach. Working with Coach Cliff has been great for me. He has a great defensive mind and super, super detailed, and has taught me so much as well. You know, I enjoy working for both guys, obviously, and have flourished under both. But it's just different. You know, working for my dad is coming in and giving the head coach a hug and just going in and sitting in the office and talking about, you know, whatever he needs to bounce off me. And with Coach Cliff, it's a very good relationship, but it's not that father and son relationship that my dad had.
A couple more questions for you, and then I'll let you go. I know you're a busy man and got stuff to do to make this playoffs. But I know the NBA players during All-Star break, they maybe go to like Turk and Kinko's or the Bahamas or something. Do the coaches do the same thing?
Not really. You know, we travel so much during the season that All-Star break for us, especially this year with it being a week long, was a time to just be at home and sleep in our own bed and hang out with family and stuff. I know some guys went up to the All-Star game. Some people, you know, if their family was elsewhere, went and saw their family. But All-Star break for us was more of a break from watching film and game planning and that sort of thing, and more of a time to just hang out with family.
The mental break is important in your line of business because
winning
in a professional sports, as a fan, we ask so much of you guys. What is the end goal for you, Coach? You had, if you could pick where you wanted to coach, be a head coach at, what would that
be? I would love to be a head coach in the NBA. You know, I've been here in Charlotte and then moved with the team in New Orleans. I worked in Cleveland with the Cavaliers for a couple of years, and then out in Golden State for 5 years, and was fortunate enough to come back here in Charlotte. So I enjoy, you know, being here and working for Coach Cliff and working with Patrick Ewing and Mark Price and our great coaching staff. Ultimately, my goal is to be a head coach, and, you know, I'm not going to be picky as far as where it would be. Hopefully we'll be here a long time with this coaching staff and win a whole bunch of games, and then after we win our championship, I can go somewhere and be a head coach. But, you know, this is 14 years for me on the bench, and still learning and still growing. But it's definitely the ultimate goal to be head coach.
I understand that. And finally, what's the most enjoyable part of your job?
Oh, man, there's so many enjoyable parts to my job. I would say the most enjoyable part is to just be on the court. You know, I enjoy every minute of actually working with guys, whether it's individually, whether it's group work, you know, three-on-three type stuff, or just having three guys and putting them through a workout, or having five guys out there and walking through some stuff or scrimmaging, or nothing better for me than being on the floor. You know, today was an off day, and I was on the floor for a couple hours just working with guys and watching film with them or whatever. But, you know, I get my joy from being on that basketball floor whenever I can be, and then, you know, seeing the results during the game.
And we're definitely seeing it now. Coach, thank you for calling in this afternoon, man. I really appreciate your time, and good luck with the rest of the season.
All right, thank you.
Welcome back to the show, and thank you, Assistant Head Coach Stephen Silas, for joining us on the show today. I appreciate it. You know, it was a call-in. It was great. It was a great interview you had.
When the coaches Big Shot reach out for us and just donate their time, because they are extremely busy, we really appreciate it over here at Breakdown Sports NC. Much love. Let's go Hornets.
That's right, man. He talked 12-13 minutes. It was great, man. So hopefully we'll have him on again. So very soon, which I'm sure we will. But before we go any farther, let's go through our dummies of the week. We got 2 weeks worth of dummies. So break down 2 week dummies of the week. Who's there? It's the breakdown dummy of the week. All right. Do you want to go first?
I got two from one game. First was Norris Cole going for a rebound. Him and the backup center for the Pelicans, they were playing the Heat last Wednesday. And the center couldn't grab the basketball. I guess he's uncoordinated or something. And Norris Cole tries to go and save the ball from going out of bounds. He grabs it. He throws it to the center. But the center acts like he doesn't want the ball. He throws it back to Norris Cole. And Norris Cole was standing out of bounds. So they turned it over. Unforced turnover. And then – later on in the game, Michael Beasley, he comes into the game. He sizes up a defender. He drives right. He slips and falls on his face. The ball bounces off the bottom of the backboard, off his head, and goes out of bounds. Michael Beasley, welcome to Dummies of the Week. And finally, Mr. Alexi Shved. I don't know what's going on with him in a New York Knicks uniform.
You mean that D-League team?
That D-League team. He drives the paint. He gets in the air. He doesn't know if he shoots or passes. He throws it 20 feet in the air over the backboard. Just missed everything. And looked like, huh, what happened? And then he was driving baseline. He throws a pass out to Lance Thomas at the three-point line. Why Lance Thomas is out at the three-point line is beyond me. But Lance Thomas alligator arms the pass, and the ball hits a female fan right in her lap, spills her drink everywhere. It's like the Knicks just keep on doing bad stuff to their fans. Sorry, Knick fans. And that's all I got for you, bro.
That's what you get. Man, I got so many. I'm trying to find them all on Facebook because I didn't share them last week. kind of, I don't know if it's dummy. Knicks, Lou Amundsen takes direct shot to groin versus Pistons.
Ouch.
I feel it. The dummy's got to be the person throwing it.
Whew.
We got to share. We got, mommy, we're going to talk about Mason here in a minute, too. But there's a couple of different things. First one's going to be Rex Ryan getting a Buffalo Bills truck made. I don't know if you saw it.
I haven't seen it.
You ain't seen it? Let me show it to you real fast. And then I'm going to talk. Yeah, if you haven't seen it, go to our Facebook page. It's on. Yeah, here you go.
Okay, Rex, I see his. What's that, a 1500, a Dodge F-150 or something like that?
Yeah.
Not bad. Not bad. He's been driving it around, too. You know, he's always over flamboyant for his team. His wife got the Mark Sanchez jersey tattooed on herself. So, whatever you got to do, show support.
That's very true. A couple of mine is the worst golf swing you ever see from an athlete. I don't know if you got to see
it. I didn't see it. I kind of glanced at it when I was looking at the page, but I didn't look at the swing. Who was it?
Snowboarder. Oh. BMX, something like that.
Are those guys really athletes?
They consider them athletes.
I mean, riding, don't get it twisted. Riding that skateboard and doing those tricks on bikes is definitely tough. You gotta have skill.
A couple other ones. VCU fans trick UMass with a fake shot clock countdown, and the referees call a shot clock violation.
Come on, officials. There are two shot clocks in the stadium. There's a buzzer that goes off. You don't listen to the fans. Again, college officiating is terrible.
NFL agent uses bathroom at NFL scouting combine as a resource to get the client's info to scouts. There's not a better way to get information to the scouts than leaving stuff in the bathroom.
Instead of chasing these players around, just stay in one spot that you know that they're guaranteed to come to the restroom. Make yourself
That's
make your
very
job
true.
Easier.
Kevin Love bricks a wide open dunk attempt. I don't know if you got saw that.
I saw that. He left it short. It looked like he just didn't have the explosion to get up to dunk the ball, which is sad because he's 6'10".
A brother wears a shot collar to prevent FIFA rage. I've heard about being fan rage, but putting a shot collar on your brother?
I think he did that out of spite. Just, yeah, you'll wear it? Really? You fool. I'm going to get you.
That's the one I got to find. I'm going to let you. There's two high school girls basketball teams are removed from the playoffs for allegedly trying to lose because they were trying to avoid the top seed. The Tennessee Secondary School Athletic Association disqualified two high school girls basketball teams from the playoffs after they tried to allegedly lose so they wouldn't have to face, they would get a better seeding in the playoffs.
I mean, if they're a lower seed team anyway, they weren't going to do anything in the playoffs. So it's just one less game for you girls. Sorry. I hate that, you know, you try to stage a game because you want seeding and stuff. Just go out there and compete and let the chips fall where they may.
Right, absolutely. And I've got one other one. I wanted to find it. Back at it again, another Cowboys fan seeks, this time, $100 billion over Dez Bryant's catch.
Hey, if you can get paid, I ain't mad at you, but it seems like it's a big waste of time. I don't know what you're going to – who's going to overturn something and pay you dummies $100 billion or – whatever insane amount of money you're asking for something you aren't even involved in.
$100 billion. This guy's asking.
You can ask. Doesn't mean you're going to receive.
But the second one for Dallas already. Now you see why we're hated by many teams.
Because of the fans?
Yeah.
Man. I just hate Dallas because they used to beat up on my team in the 90s. Damn Cowboys.
Well, I told you the story about at the Super Bowl, right? About the Green Bay Packer fan wearing the Seahawks.
Yeah, jersey. You told me that.
Come on, dude.
Like, dude, I don't know. And fans aren't as loyal as they used to be. They are quick to jump on someone's bandwagon. Look how many new Cavalier fans popped up this year.
All right, yeah, here you go. South Texas man wants to prohibit NFL from ever using the word catch again. That was a $100 billion lawsuit.
Okay, we won't use catch. There's a reception. Another reception. Idiot. Yeah, go home. Stay home. Go under a rock or something, please.
He had filed a amended petition for review at the Texas Education Agency on behalf of himself, the Cowboys, Bryant, Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, and ESPN personality Skip Bayless, naming as defendants the NFL. Come on, man. Do we not have other things in the world to worry about other than you trying to sue $100 billion?
Sports is life, man. People take sports to heart so dearly. And sports is like another child.
I agree. I understand that completely, but come on.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a line.
Somebody need to go and drop an elbow on this guy's forehead or just go and pedigree him. Can we get Triple H on the phone and go down there and pedigree this guy through the earth, please?
I was just saying we'll get sweet chin music. I mean, he's leaving Texas anyway. Maybe he'd knock some teeth sense into him.
Something.
But, you know, the Hornets, we were talking about the Hornets earlier. They're in seventh right now with Miami going back and forth. So hopefully, but that's our dummies of the week. And I just want, you know, Hornet finish the NBA section off. The Hornets are looking good, man. We get back Kemba, we'll see what happens.
And another loss for the NBA family this week. Former All-Star and super competitor Anthony Mason passed after his fight with his heart failure surgeries. Man.
Let me tell you, two of my favorite Hornets of all time. My favorite, LJ. My second favorite, Anthony Mason. The guy was amazing. I know the Knicks. He was good with the Knicks, man. He was great with the Knicks. But when he's with the Hornets, he one of the all-time greats, man, in my opinion.
I just love the fresh haircuts. He always had something cut into his hairline. He kept that going. Man, Anthony Mason, he doesn't have many highlight plays again.
he wasn't an athlete,
a super flyer. But he would battle, give 120%.
He was double-double. He was Mr. Double. I mean, he was really Mr. Double-double. And I mean, he did that.
At the free throw line, he would always line up that left hand, that one hand, and let it go. Ink or miss. Anthony Mason, you will be missed, man. RIP.
Definitely rest in peace. One of the all-time – one of my favorite all-time Hornets, man. It's sad. Another one, you know, we lost Jerome Kersey a couple weeks ago at a young age, and now Anthony Mason. But Mason was such a competitor, too.
Yeah.
That's what I loved about him. I was listening to a story, Mark Jackson talking about him and Mason playing together. And Mason or Jackson threw a lob pass to somebody else, and Mason yelled at him the whole way down the court. And then he's like, you know, after the game, they're hugging. You say how much he loves them, everything else. But during the game, he's like, man, why don't you throw me the ball?
Like, dude, you wouldn't have went and caught it if I'd have thrown it up for you. But that was the kind of competitor he was. He wanted the ball. He wanted to win. And did whatever it took.
He was amazing, dude. But Mason, thank you for everything, man. You will be missed. And a lot of great memories of Charlotte and New York, everywhere he played. So we'll take a break, come back, and we'll finish up in college basketball. You're listening to The Breakdown.
I believe every lie that I ever told, paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got sold.
This is my world.
Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed.
This is my world.
Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail.
gotta turn and grind. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man. To your questions, I'll be the teacher, you could be the lesson. I'll be the preacher, you be the confession. I'll be the quick relief to all you stressing. It's a thin line between love and hate. Is you really real or is you really fake? I'm a soldier standing on my feet, no surrender.
You are listening to the best damn sports show in the Carolinas. Better than your mama's biscuits. Breakdown Sports, Big Shot Bob Robertson. Him and Stephen Tulloch can be the spokesman for stupidity injuries. Getting the ball out of Cam's hands. What happened to that? And Kelvin Benjamin 6'6". And there's a guarantee that Jimmy Graham's going to have a touchdown catch. At least one against the Panthers. They got to keep Breeze and the boys off the field, because if Breeze and the boys score 24, they're going to win. Cam paid and doing Felix Sabatis commercials now. And that 2-0 was like fool's gold. I feel like Cam doesn't throw a good fade route, though. Cam, there's definitely a damn APB out for this guy. We are looking for you. Listen to us on Spreaker, Stitcher, and iTunes.
Dip those suckers in Aunt Your Mama.
Lord have mercy. Woo! Gotta cruise with my buttermilk biscuits, man.
That's right. To the South Carolina line, everywhere else. Speaking of somebody cruising right now, welcome back to the breakdown. Speaking of somebody cruising right now, Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota. You know, they impressed at the scouting combine. Jameis is having, he had a, let me see, Glaze-centric day with the Glazers and Tampa, I guess.
I mean, they rolled out the red carpet for this kid a whole day with the ownership, their family, and then the next day with the head coach and the GM. It was a 2-3-day visit down in Tampa. I mean, Tampa can't make it any obvious, more obvious, that they want Winston. Because Mariota still isn't planning to visit until, like, May.
Yeah, and they're doing it already. It's just, it's amazing, dude. I'm trying to be sold completely on this kid. But after, and kind of it's after Jaworski come out, you know, and says, I wouldn't touch him. No offense, I might be an expert at some things, but Ron Jaworski's pretty good at being, you know, he's been pretty good at judging talent when it come out,
yeah.
When it comes out.
This is the same guy that said that Colin Kaepernick was the best quarterback in the NFL, or could be the best quarterback in the NFL, too.
Who, Jaworski?
Yeah.
Well, he could be if he works on his mechanics, but it doesn't look like he's going. He said could be. Could be is, yeah, so could Joe Flacco be the best.
And it's the same guy that crushed Johnny Football and then took his statement back. Well, I would take Johnny. I think Johnny could have it. And I don't know. What I saw from the combine from Jameis was what I needed to see. When he hit the third step, the ball was out. He hit the fifth step, the ball was out. The other quarterbacks, they hit that fifth step. They had a little hitch. They had to regather and fire the football. And the quicker your release can be, the less likely you will be sacked a lot in the NFL.
Now, in Jameis's defense, they've been talking about his delivery. But from my understanding, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL is Phillip Rivers. And that's my boy. And his release is horrible. But he gets the ball out. That's all that matters. So, but I think the big knock on Jameis is under pressure. Because you can get – if you put pressure on him, he gets rattled. He gets rattled. So look at what Oregon did last year.
The best quarterbacks get rattled if enough pressure comes in their face. Tom Brady is – that's the MO on Tom Brady. Hit Brady. Knock him down. He'll get rattled. And when it happened in the Super Bowl, he even turned the football over.
But when Brady – yeah, but when he turned the ball over, he came right back and scored. That's the difference between him and Winston a little bit. Winston will get rattled, and he'll throw two or three more picks. I mean, when the Oregon game
– I saw the Oregon game. It wasn't on Winston. The offense started fumbling the ball. The running back fumbled three possessions in a row.
Come on, that throw, and the backward throw.
He was trying to make a play. He was running around in the backfield for 15 seconds. The ball just happened to fall out. And by, at that point, they were down 28 points. So he was just doing, I'm down a ton. I need to make a play. And it happens to all competitors.
I understand that. I'm torn between Marcus and Jameis. I don't know which one I would take.
I remember last year's national championship game, the last drive of the game, they needed a score. Winston got him down there and got him in the end zone.
No, you're right. You're right. They did. I need to see what he does. I don't know.
It's going to be interesting to see because let's go ahead and say it. Tampa's going to take him.
Oh, yeah.
If they don't trade out, they're going to take him. It's interesting to go see what he's going to do because he'll be in our conference. So we'll probably see him game one.
Most likely, yeah. We'll see, though, Jameis versus Cam. Also, I want to go to other news. The big news in the NFL the last couple of days, Eagles trade Shay McCoy to the Bills for linebacker Kiko Alonso. Let me tell you, what are you thinking? I know you're trying to get rid of cap space. I completely understand that. But you traded one of the best two running backs, top five running backs in the game, for a linebacker that missed all of last year. I'm not saying don't make the trade, but get you some draft picks. There's no way you can't tell me the Bills wouldn't have gave you at least a fourth-round pick and Alonso for it. If they gave up that easy, something wrong with that GM.
Yeah, the deal to me, it's shady. I don't know what was going on with this deal. But, you know, LeSean McCoy is starting to get up in age. He did have a decline last season. He would have counted, like you said, $12 million against the cap for the Eagles, who are trying to re-sign Jeremy Maclin, who are looking for a quarterback. I feel like there's still more things to come.
I know, but think about it. You could have done this trade. The Eagles could have got a fourth and a fifth probably, at least a fourth and a fifth, and Kiko. And then you could use the fourth and fifth to add to another trade. I mean, for Mariota. I feel like they gave up too early on this on Shady.
If they give the Jets Nick Foles their first and second round pick for this year and maybe a third round pick in the future, they can get that number six pick.
But still, and supposedly from what I'm hearing, it might take three first round picks to get Mariota and the Jets pick.
Because the Jets have a lot of holes.
Yeah.
So Mariota by himself is not going to fix the Jets.
Oh, no, no.
And Todd Bowles came from under Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians liked veteran quarterbacks, pocket passers. So I'm pretty sure Todd Bowles is going to be looking for the same kind of quarterback. And he can get one out there. He can get one out there. They just gonna have to give up the picks.
We talked about it earlier. They could trade and get Foles.
They can throw Foles
Throw Foles in for the trade. But
they're gonna have to give up, like you said, at least two first rounders and probably a second rounder.
Yeah, but if they would have traded McCoy with a draft pick to get draft picks back, they would have more draft picks to give away. Now they don't have as much to work with. When they trade that's gonna be it. Then you're putting everything on Mariota. And we don't know how good he's going to be.
I think he'll flourish in Chip Kelly's system because that system fits him like a glove. He'll get in there. He'll be able to just do what he did in Oregon It's not going to be a big curve. It's not going to be a lot of plays. He's going to have to learn difficult calls he's going to have to make.
Right.
He's going to be able to do exactly what he did at Oregon. And I bet you that the Eagles tried to trade McCoy to the Jets and some other pieces to move up to that number six pick. But the Jets probably didn't want that high cap number for a running back either.
Right. Which I completely understand. It's just you're trading him for one linebacker that missed all of last year.
That's true.
He wasn't healthy last year. He didn't play. And you'll trade one of the top five running backs for a guy who didn't play last year. That's just a lot to trade for one guy when you could at least got some kind of – come on. They just traded – we'll talk about it right now. The Bills traded for Matt Castle and got – and traded away like a sixth and a seventh.
Now, if the Eagles' plan is to cut Kiko Alonso, then – it works out, because if they were to cut Shady McCoy, you know, that would have been a big cap hit for them, right, to cut that number off their cap space. So I guess if the trade was the only thing you were hoping for at the end of the day, if you couldn't get your pick, at least you got the trade done.
I understand that. I just, you know, come Tuesday when they're definitely a loser in this trade right now.
It doesn't look good.
It looks – one of the most ridiculous trades I've ever seen in NFL. But we'll see how it works out. I hope it don't work out. I don't think it will anyway. The college system in NFL doesn't work. Or, I mean, it's worked for Carroll, but we'll see if their run's over or not.
And, I mean, Russell Wilson can play a pro style. That's the biggest difference. A lot of these spread option quarterbacks can't play a pro style. Russell Wilson was blessed to be able to play at NC State for 4 years, where they ran a pro style for the most part before he went to Wisconsin, where he picked up the read option.
Right. And, I mean, you know, Jim, he left San Francisco. Harbaugh left San Francisco. It didn't work with Colin Kaepernick. We'll see what happens. You know, but there's a lot of other news going on. The 49ers and the Jets, the Dolphins, are all interested in C.J. Spiller. If I was Spiller, I would go – well, I don't know where I'd go on this one. Arizona, probably.
If I was any of those teams, I wouldn't be going after C.J. Spiller. I see DeMarco Murray out there. I would take a chance on a Justin Forsett or something before I go after C.J. Spiller. When has he ever played 16 games? When has he played 10 games?
I don't think he's ever played actually more than 12.
He had one little stretch like 3 years ago where he was killing it. But he hasn't panned out, man. He's too small.
Absolutely. Then news, you know, Carolina, Byron Bell and D'Angelo Williams released.
You knew it was coming for one of those running backs. And unfortunately, it was D'Angelo. But thank you for your service here. You played well for us for a few seasons, just couldn't stay healthy and on the field enough, especially this season. And you know how running backs are in the NFL. They aren't worth what they used to be. So it's easy to cut a running back nowadays.
Oh, yeah. You know, a couple of things. Byron Bell we knew was coming, and we knew when the running backs, like you said. He wanted a contract because he's one of the best left tackles in the game, he says, which is still – he's still on my dummies of the week. But D'Angelo, I want to talk about that for a second. D'Angelo had an interview with WBTV about, you know, the Panthers and stuff. I have a little bit of a problem with the way they treated one of their players. I mean – D'Angelo's mother, in case you didn't know, breast cancer, big part of the NFL breast cancer awareness. Big, big part. Mm-hmm. At her funeral, and I didn't know this, one person from the Panthers showed up, and that was Greg Hardy.
Well, the funeral was in Arkansas, and Greg Hardy is from Arkansas, so there's a reason for him to show up. He is probably at home. The Panthers, they did reach out, and they did give their condolences. Everybody's schedule was tied up. You know, we hate that your mother passed, but I can't just drop everything at the drop of a hat and come pay respects. I pay my respects to you. I called you. I talked to you. I sent flowers. What else do you want me to do?
Well, here's the problem. If you're going to use him and his mother as a beacon, as a light of breast cancer awareness for your franchise, which they did, then send somebody. It doesn't send somebody. You can send a freaking media relations consultant down. Send somebody. I mean, you don't tell me Jerry couldn't get in a jet and fly down?
Who knows what he had
I'm
going on?
I'm just saying, dude. I mean, there's a little bit. If you don't use somebody to make money for you, like they did with breast cancer awareness, then support it.
Plus, the funeral was in May, too, so you just had the draft. You probably had some OTAs, and you had your rookies in, and you're dealing with that stuff.
You can't send an intern down
there? They sent Greg Hardy.
They didn't send Greg Hardy. Greg's there. Yeah, I'm just saying, Coach Rivera talks about family. He talks about all of this, but when family really counts, the Greg Hardy thing, we go back to that. What did they really do about Greg Hardy? Nothing.
Paid them to
stay at home. They didn't do anything until the NFL told them to do something. What did they really do? Mr. Jerry Richardson cries in front of a lot of people. That's all they did. And then this comes up, man. I ain't saying kiss his hiney, but send somebody down there. If you don't use him to make money for your franchise, then you should support him when something goes on. That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying support the man. Other than a phone call saying, I'm sorry for your loss. Because when my father passed away many years ago, I had people from my work there. You can't tell me Jerry Richardson couldn't get on a jet or send his son. Send somebody. He's got, I mean, come on.
Look how they did Steve Smith. Steve Smith had been with their franchise much longer than D'Angelo Williams. So.
Look how they're, when people are at the end of the, how we'll do with Greg Olsen when he retires, when he's at the end.
They're going to do what the Patriots do. The Patriots do this to all their veteran players. They cut them or release them before they have to give them money.
I know that, but you know what? They support their players a little bit more, too. Well, unless it's, you know, Aaron Hernandez. Which, hey, you got to do that. I'm just saying, support your guys a little bit more. I don't know everything that went on with the whole situation. I know D'Angelo's side, so.
I think he's just being a little too sensitive about it.
Well, he gave one interview, and if you watch the interview, it wasn't like a bad interview bashing the team or anything like that. He gave one interview. He's not giving an interview to anybody else. You see the man go around the country. He's a great guy, man. He's probably the nicest Panther we had.
And I know he's a stand-up guy. I know he was out recently across the pond with my
he's
boy Beast Mode,
stuff,
Marshawn
yeah.
Lynch, and they were promoting NFL stuff. The NFL we know is a cold-hearted business. It's a cold-hearted business.
Does he get picked up?
No.
Yeah. No. I think he's done.
But going back to Marshawn Lynch, though, did you read the interview he gave?
A little bit.
He felt like that he didn't get the ball because that Walt Disney didn't want him to be, I'm the Super Bowl MVP. I'm going to Walt Disney World.
I don't believe that.
He said he expected the ball, but when the play came down, he said that was the thoughts that went through his mind.
All right, Marshawn. Dude, I like you, but come on, dude. Just come on. Just start talking to me.
You don't think it was a little conspiracy? The
no.
NFL didn't call Pete Carroll and said, you better not give Marshawn Lynch that football.
No, come on. Dude, I agree. I told you after the Super Bowl when I got back, I agree with the call. The call on second and short at the goal line, I just think they made the wrong pass play. If he threw it something to the outside where nobody else could intercept it. But when you throw the ball at the 1 yard line in a goal line situation, that's what's going to end up happening because everybody's so crammed together. And Russell made a bad throw. If he threw it to the inside, there's no interception.
I know the Super Bowl is done and stuff, and we can't go back and change it. But pregame, Hines Ward and Rodney Harrison were comparing Marshawn Lynch to Walter Payton.
Wow, I didn't hear that.
If you got that guy in your backfield, you don't give him the football?
No, I understand. Trust me. And he was getting the ball on third and fourth down if it got that situation. But, you know, I do understand why Pete called the play. I'm not saying I would have called it, not that play, but I understand why he called it.
I feel you.
But I agree with you. You got somebody like that back there, you do got to give him the ball as much as possible. It's not like you got the Cowboys and you got Dez Bryant on the outside.
All right.
Dolphins are trying to trade Mike Wallace.
His production has not been what it was for Pittsburgh. He's $11 million this year on the cap. I don't think they're going to be able to trade him. They're just going to have to cut him.
Yeah, which is – he got a ridiculous contract. Giants franchise JPP.
I was surprised about that. I thought they were going to let him go.
Nah. Nah, they'll keep him a little bit longer. The Cowboys franchise Dez Bryant, which we knew was coming.
We knew it was coming.
I'm just worried about Dez wanting to leave no matter what and not signing a long-term
deal. Hey, at least they re-signed Cole Beasley to a four-year deal. You got your man Cole Beasley in the house for at least four more seasons.
Thank you. And, hey, he's going to be a good slot guy for four more seasons, I hope, at least. But if we don't have number 88 on the outside, and then when 83 comes a free agent, I had to think it was a number for a minute. When 83 Terrence Williams comes as a free agent, does he re-sign with Dallas? We don't know. So, hopefully, they get these two.
Dallas will get some money freed up because Jason Witten, I think, well, this is his last season as a Cowboy.
He doesn't have much more time.
So that'll free up some money. Morris Claiborne's contract will come off the books. Brandon Carr, you can probably release him, get that money back for that. So the Cowboys will be all right. I think Dez Bryant will be there through his career. Well, most of it anyway.
Also, Dez Bryant tape possibly linked to 2011 incident that occurred in a Walmart parking lot. Look, it's 2015. Why are we going back to 2011? To try to find something, he was in a parking lot incident.
If they have tape on something, it doesn't matter when it was. They'll put it out there, and all the negative things, even little negative things, affect an NFL player. Because the NFL already has a bad, dark cloud hanging over it because its players are such knuckleheads in the offseason. They don't need their superstar players having anything against their name.
Yeah. The Steelers won't use franchise tag on linebacker Jason Worrells. He will be a free agent, which we knew that coming. Also, Troy Polamalu is going to be cut most likely next week.
They asked him to retire. I think Polamalu feels he still has a season or two, but we'll see how it goes because they did the same thing to Hines Ward, and Hines Ward couldn't pick up with any other team. So we'll see what happens with Troy Polamalu.
Yeah, I think he's going to go ahead and he should go ahead and retire. His years, come on, you got burnt by Tim Tebow. So no.
Well, Demaryius Thomas did 875 yards of that running. So
no, he did. I just, you know, the Panthers had offensive tackle Michael Warren for a visit.
Do we want Blindside? Can he protect the Blindside? I don't know, man. I think he did better in the movie than he's been doing these past couple of seasons for teams.
That's very true. And Greg Hardy can sign a contract while on the exempt list.
Good luck with that because once he comes off the exempt list, he still is facing suspension.
And he's done here. So where do you think he ends up?
Dallas needs a pass rusher. I can see Dallas taking a chance on Greg Hardy. Who else could use a pass? Indianapolis could use a pass rusher.
And early signs are that Sue might be going to Indy.
You get Sue, you add Greg Hardy to that defensive line, Indy all of a sudden becomes scary.
On defense.
They are already scary on offense. Imagine them on defense. And then you get Robert Mathis coming back. Maybe he can give you something. We don't know about all that, but Mathis, Hardy, and Sue as three of your four defensive line. Man.
That is scary.
That would be scary.
One thing I did want to talk about Carolina real fast. Cam Newton, I don't know if you heard about the shooting
I didn't.
At the club. Cam Newton was on stage moments before gunfire at a private party.
Wow. In Charlotte?
Yeah, it was at Label.
Oh, Saturday night,
yeah,
huh?
Newton was at the nightclub Label and was photographed with Young Jeezy. Hang out with Young Jeezy, no wonder. Moments before gunfire rang out during a party which coincided with the CIAA tournament.
They have shootings at this CIAA tournament parties, these parties every year. Last year was Diddy's party. This year is the party at Label.
So, yeah, Newton was on stage during the private party but quickly ducked for cover when the shots inside the club were heard.
I understand you want to go out and have a good time, but you got to know where you're at, Cam Newton. And I know he's a big active participant in CIAA. He loves the CIAA tournament when it comes to town. And it's a great draw for Charlotte, and it brings a lot of HBC schools and past and present students together and alumni. But the parties just get too out of hand, man.
And they're supposedly, from what I heard, they're bringing the corporate headquarters here. The CIAA corporate headquarters.
But my biggest concern is, what are these club owners and security doing at the doors that these guys are getting weapons into the club? What is going on?
Well, you know, if somebody wants to sneak something in, they'll find a way to sneak something
find
in.
Find the way to get it
you
in.
You know that. I mean, why? I mean, the Charlotte. I've never been to the CIAA tournament, so I don't know. I don't understand what the big deal is every year.
Nobody is here for the tournament. The people that are partying, they don't go to the CIAA tournament either. They just go to the parties.
That's what I was getting ready to say. Everybody that I know that go is always talking about the parties. I never hear anything about the games. It's always about the parties that goes on.
Every year.
So,
every year.
I mean, it's like, and I guess it's going to be more and more because when the headquarters get moved here. So we'll see. You know, we're talking about Sue. The Bucks are trying to make a move for him also. The Packers did not franchise tag Randall Cobb. Supposedly he wants like $14 million a year.
He can ask for what he wants. He's put up numbers like he's a big-time wide receiver. And he does a lot for that offense. But they got $25 million a year going to Aaron Rodgers. They got, what, $10, $11 million going to Jordy Nelson? Clay Matthews is still making a big chunk. They need to shore up that defensive line. Randall Cobb might not be a Green Bay Packer next year.
Yeah, and they also just Tremont Williams rejected a contract with the Packers. He went to go – supposedly he's interested in joining the Seahawks.
I'm not mad at that.
No.
If it's not about the money and it's about winning – you have a better chance winning in Seattle with a defense than in Green Bay.
A couple other things. I'll skip this. Cardinals cut defensive tackle Darnell Dockett, who agreed to a contract with the 49ers yesterday.
That was fast.
Yeah, he didn't stay out there long. Chiefs franchise tag linebacker Justin Houston. Broncos franchise tag Demaryius Thomas. The Patriots franchise tag Steven Kostkowski. I always laugh when the franchise tag is going to a kicker. And then they released Vince Wilfork, and
we got to see
McCourty is probably going to hit the free agency.
And we got to see what they're going to do with Darrell Revis, because if they pick up the option on Revis, that's a $25 million cap hit for the New England Patriots. And I don't see the Patriots wanting to take that size of a cap hit. Gostkowski he's getting looked out for, because he's probably the best kicker in the NFL.
Oh, hands down.
But if you don't have no money, franchise them. It's only $4 million to franchise them.
True. All right. You got anything else to add, NFL?
That's it, man.
All right. Well, we're going to Bon Voyage.
Bon Voyage time. You know it's long because it's been 2 weeks. We'll start with baseball. Umpire Tim McClellan retires after 32 seasons of being an MLB umpire. And he was actually the home plate umpire for the pine tar game in 1983, where he threw George Brett out for having too much pine tar on his bat and took away his home run. So, bon voyage. Also, Shabazz Muhammad, Timberwolves forward out for the season with a ruptured ligament in his middle finger. Man, Larry Sanders, Bucks forward, bought out and waived by the Milwaukee Bucks. That guy just is a head case.
Yeah.
Some to his own pace. Jarrett Sullinger, Celtics forward, out for the season with a stress fracture in his toe. Patrick Kane, Chicago Blackhawks leading scorer, out 6 to 10 weeks. I think he was the leading total point scorer in the NHL.
Yeah, he was.
That's a huge loss. And staying in Chicago, D-Rose and Jimmy Butler, we told you about D-Rose to start the show, tore meniscus, maybe back the week before the playoffs, but don't hold your collective breaths, Chicago. And his running mate, Jimmy Butler, sprained the elbow, out 3 to 6 weeks. Chris Bosh, blood clot in his lung.
Huge.
Out for the season for Miami. Bye, bye, bye.
I'm just glad he's okay, though.
Yeah.
Because that was bad.
It's scary, man. And that's all I got.
That's all you got? I got Keith Overman suspended by ESPN for comments about Penn State students called them pitiful. He was suspended a week.
Man.
Also, Rip Hamilton announces his retirement. Richard Rip Hamilton retires.
I thought he'd been retired because I've been seeing him on NBA TV or something doing studio shows. So
no. Also, we forgot to mention earlier, Earl Lloyd helped break the NBA race barrier, died this week. The first black player to appear in the NBA game.
83 years old.
Yep. And ever who stole that NASCAR, bye, 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 because they finally found it. I don't know if you heard about that one. Somebody stole
the 44 car, right?
Yeah. Yep.
I saw that. And let's not forget the Bush boys. Kyle Bush, you know, tragic accident at Daytona, shattered his leg. They don't have a timetable on him coming back. And then, of course, Kurt Bush suspended by NASCAR for allegedly shoving his ex-girlfriend's head through a wall in their double-wide mobile home.
The assassin?
The assassin, he claimed.
Also, the Steve Francis for being victimized in a violent chain snatching at a Houston rap show. Somebody stole his chain.
Don't walk up in the Houston rap show with a heavy chain on, boy. We're going to snap them ropes at the Roxy.
Last but not least, Andrew Luck says goodbye to the Nick beard.
Oh, that thing was hideous. Did you see him at the NFL honors with a suit and this neck beard thing? It's like, you got an expensive suit on and you got a hobo look on your face. It's not cool. It is not cool. Shave that mess off.
Well, there's all your bon voyages. That was a lot. All right. Make sure that's it for the show. Make sure you catch us on Stitcher, Spreaker, iTunes. Share us. Follow us on Twitter at BreakdownNC. And we'll see you next week.
Always, sports is life.
Timber. Swing your partner round and round. End of the night is going down. One more shot, another round. End of the night is going down. Swing your partner round and round. End of the night is going down. One more shot, another round. End of the night is going down.
It's going down. I'm yelling timber.